This is a Triple J podcast.
G'day, it's Dave Marchese with your big chat for the week, and it's an interview with a guy that's built up so much influence in politics in just a short amount of time. I'm talking just over a year. He's got MPs talking about his ideas in Parliament. He's racked up a following bigger than some media outlets. Conrad Benjamin, you might know him as Punters Politics. He describes himself as issues focused, says he's not aligned with any particular side of politics. He's just focused on the bigger stuff. So how did he go from being a high school teacher to a political commentator with hundreds of thousands of followers in such a short amount of time? Well, in this chat, we talk about a lot of it. What drives him?
We're talking about what's important about politics, about the issues that 95% of us all agree on that we could solve right now.
Why he feels a lot of young Australians in particular have been let down, not just by politicians, but the media as well.
We're always told Aussies don't care about politics, especially Aussie blokes, which is most of my audience. We're told that whether she'll be right, yeah, well, we can just go to the beach and have a surf, it's all right, like, no worries.
And if he's in this for the long haul, whether he feels like he can keep all this up.
I do feel that pressure, and I think some days it weighs on me, but I think I'm just too wired to wanting to help push for a solution.
We're also talking about the big fundraiser that Punters Politics held in Canberra this week. He was highlighting the power of money to get access to politicians in this country. And I want to ask if he sees that issue changing anytime soon. So here it is, my chat with Punters Politics. Conrad Benjamin, Punters Politics, welcome to Hack.
Oi, Punters, great to be here.
It's good to have you on. I mean, what makes you so wound up about the influence of lobbyists in particular in this country?
Oh, mate, I think it's looking at the political system that is just broken and not working and not fixing anything. And so when I engage with politics, I've only got so much time and effort in the day, and there's a million different issues, but what's holding all of it up? And at the end of the day, the roads all lead back to corporate capture of our politicians in a few different key ways. That's what's clogging the wheels, stopping solutions to the housing crisis, to our minerals resources being given away for free. There is corporate influence just clogging up and distracting our politicians and pulling them away from serving we the punters.
You've been talking about this for quite a while, like long before the election, during the campaign, you were talking about it. Were you expecting the kind of response from your listeners, your audience?
Well, I mean, initially, no. When I have these political conversations with my mates, they're always like, oh, right, yeah, right, mate, yeah, but what are you going to do? And it felt dismissive, and I think a lot of people kind of feel that because we all feel a little helpless. And in those conversations when you talk politics, you're thinking, well, what am I going to do about it? It's so big and it doesn't matter. And then I started posting some Instagram reels that explained some simple things. Obviously, we're giving away $100 billion worth of gas for free to foreign corporations every year. I made that reel and it blew up, and I have been kind of shocked and given a lot of hope with when we're talking about what's important about politics, about the issues that 95% of us all agree on that we could solve right now and make everybody's life measurably better. We actually care, and Aussies actually tune in.
So you're in Canberra at the moment. You held this big fundraiser this week. Can you explain what that was about?
Well, we just had the first inaugural Punters Politics political fundraiser where we gave regular Aussie punters in person and on the live stream the opportunity to pay cash to access their politicians. This is a practice that I discovered is very common. In Canberra, they call it politics. They call it business as usual. But most Aussie punters, polling just come out of YouGov, 6 out of 10 Aussie punters, they don't call it politics, they call it corrupt. Only 1 in 10 Aussie punters wouldn't call it corrupt, and 7 out of 10 Aussie punters want politicians to stop it.
So you had this idea of putting on this big gala event, political fundraiser, where people could what, pay to access politicians in a legitimate way?
Yeah, so how it normally works is there's a hotel, which we had it at, the QT Hotel in Canberra, where these events happen. And normally a group of vested interests, some corporations, some lobbyists, they'd be part of the Federal Labor Business Forum or the Business Forum for the Liberal Party. They'd spend a membership fee of a couple thousand dollars. Then they have these events and they can buy tickets for up to $15,000 to $20,000 to be in the same room, to be at the same dinner table. And you just get to lobby and chat to them. You get to buy access. And so I thought, why not? Well, if democracy's for sale, let's give it a crack. So I rounded up as many politicians as I could get. I put some tickets on the website, punterspolitics.com, and the tickets were up for $15,000, which is standard for this sort of event. But I gave a discount code of 99.5% to the regular punters out there who listen. So it came to about $50 to $100. You could choose your price there. And I just wanted to let everyone know this is how it works and give regular Aussie punters a shot.
And who were the politicians that were there?
So we had, surprise, surprise, no one from Labor or Liberal wanted to come. The invite was open. I hit up as many as I could. That was a shock to me. It's almost as if this is what they do and they're part of the problem. I don't know. But we had a lot of independent senators managed to come. Politician David Pocock, Helen Haynes, and surprisingly, Bridget McKenzie from the Nationals rocked up and we had a nice lively discussion.
I mean, there's a bit of comedic value here, obviously. Some of it's kind of lighthearted, but it does go to this really serious issue that you're shining a light on. I mean, does pulling off something like this, an event like this, make you more optimistic about where politics is going and the prospect of changing things?
I think the humour and the gimmick and the piss take of it all hides a deep cynicism that I have because I know we have to pay attention to this for the long haul. Like, Labor have power right now. They can do whatever the hell they want right now, but they won't. And they're not doing anything about it. They know this is a problem, but they benefit from it because they're in the game of power. If the Liberal Party were in, they'd be in the same situation. So I have this deep cynicism, but I also see how close we are to making change. Like it would just take one government to pass one bill to stop this very obvious practice, which regular Aussie punters, they call it corruption. Like if politicians were talking to voters and they tell them what they're doing, the regular Aussie punters' reaction is, well, cash for access, that sounds corrupt, but because it's legal and business as usual. So it's a bit cynical and it's a bit of a piss take because I want people to pay attention for the long haul. And if I can make it as fun and engaging as possible, we can all have a good time whilst applying consistent pressure that's needed. It can't just be one fun event and one fun Instagram reel. It kind of needs to be a sustained effort because that's how lobbying works.
There'd be people thinking, oh, there are lobbyists for all kinds of interests and groups, and some of them are really important to be there representing parts of the community that should have their voices heard when it comes to politicians. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I think the word lobbying kind of gets used on a broad scope, but I think when punters hear the word lobbyist, they're thinking sports bet, tobacco, Santos, Woodside. You know, the blokes that rely on government to make the rules for them really favourable. And the rules that government makes them rich. And so they spend money and gain access in proportion to that. And that's what I think people think when there's lobbyists. But I think what you're talking about is lobbyists trying to like pretend like, oh, but you do it too. You're part of a community group and you're also representing to your politician. Oh, we're all just playing the same game, but it's not the same game. They have 10x more money. They have 10x more access. And politicians are more than willing to take that cash to entrench their power and give them an electoral advantage. But I think it's not the same thing. I'm all for everybody. I'm all for Woodside executive Meg O'Neill to wander down to her local member's office and say, hey, I'm the CEO of Woodside. Let's book in a meeting, just like Trevor can also in his representative's electorate as well. Let's just make it even. Let's make it fair because the game's rigged right now.
Conrad, I want to ask some questions about you because I feel like people are really interested in you as a person now. And obviously that comes with the territory of producing this content that's, you know, racking up so many views. What made you decide to get into this kind of work? Because in a past life, you were a teacher, right?
Yeah, the moment that radicalized me was when I was standing teaching economics in front of my year 10 students. And I opened the textbook, and in the textbook, they had Australia's rankings for clean air, clean water, freedom of the press, you know, how well we've been doing. And the textbook was a bit out of date. And I was like, all right, kids, let's see how we've been doing on all these metrics. Make a report card for the politician to see if have we been improving or going backwards. And when they returned their assignments, on every single metric, I kid you not, we went backwards on. Politics is kind of easy. We rank everything. Is this government, like let's look at Albanese, he'll have a good run of 6 to 9 years. Bloody hell, maybe 50 at the rate the Liberal Party's going. But we can look at his track record on rankings. Are we getting better compared to Norway or worse? And the kids came back with their assignments and we went backwards on everything. And a student raised his hand and goes, sir, why? Does the government know this? Do they know we're going backwards on freedom of the press, on transparency in government? Do they know this? And I just go home and I emailed my MP. This is the moment where I was just like, what do you want me to tell them? Do you want me to be honest with these kids that I'm teaching and say, you know this is happening, but you're busy serving corporate interests. You're busy. This system is working for a small select of banks, property investors, real estate agents. This economy is great for them, but it's not great for my students who are going to grow up in this. So, you know, and I got some lackluster response. And I think that was the moment where I was like, politics is more simple than we're taught it is. We agree on far more things than the political conversation will have us, you know, we just focus on what we disagree with. Bloody Barnaby Joyce and whoever, like the Nationals talking about net zero again. Oh, we've cancelled it. And the media just pick it up and that's the conversation. Meanwhile, me and hundreds of other punters are in the corner going, how about we stop cash for access? We're just trying to take back the political conversation where we're all actually agreed on this stuff.
So you started making some content and then obviously some of it has done really well. And was that it? It just took off and it was out of your control. All of a sudden you're a political commentator with thousands and thousands of followers.
Yeah, I think so. I think I was just genuinely shocked at just how much people cared about this and how much it resonated with. We're always told Aussies don't care about politics, especially Aussie blokes, which is most of my audience. We're told that we're the shilby right. Yeah, well, we can just go to the beach and have a surf. It's all right. Like, no worries. But when I made a few of those Instagram reels and I started communicating just the important stuff that we all agree on with the simple solutions, it just blew up and took off. And I went from like 1,000 followers to 500,000 within a year and a half. And I think that shows if politicians are watching, and some of them are, this is what we care about. This is what we want fixed. We can go back to arguing about the trivial things around the edges that we always argue about, but we can fix the very fabric of our democracy so that it starts to function for us more and not just large corporations.
So you think, you know, young Australians in particular are thirsty for more political discussion and analysis, and some of the commentary we might have been hearing for years about young people being disengaged and disillusioned and just tuning out, you don't subscribe to that?
Yeah, I think sadly we have no choice. If I look at my audience demographics, it's mostly millennial men. Gen Z start to pop in because at the end of the day, the things I'm talking about are so applicable to everyone's life. You know, I would teach these kids in high school. Within 4 years, they're at university. Good on them, having a good time. Don't worry about politics. You shouldn't have to. Then they finish, get a job, go to buy a house and realize this system is cooked and it's broken. And the only solution is a political solution that puts the vested interests on the back seat and stops looking after profits for the property industry and the banks and starts looking out for houses for young people. And so they have no choice to kind of get involved. And I think when they see important conversations that cut to the core of what can help fix this, they see the simplicity, they see the importance, and they have no choice but to kind of get involved.
Has there been a lot of criticism as well? Obviously, there's been heaps of support for you and the content that you're making, but has it been hard to cop the criticism that does tend to come with putting yourself out there like this on such a public stage?
I mean, good faith criticism, I'll always cop. I always want to, you know, defer to people who know more than me, try and understand what I can understand given my educational background. But it's the bad criticism is so bombarded. It's like the internet. It's bots. Like, it's interesting to me that a lot of the hate you get around certain topics, if you like, just mention climate and change on an Instagram post, do it enough and watch the bot farms kind of flood in. There are certain, it's very interesting to watch how the online conversations kind of gets pulled and shifted. So it's hard for me to determine when I'm getting a lot of hate online, especially on X, mate. That place is not a great place to be on social media. But part of me just goes, how much of this is bots? How much of this is trolls? How much of this? Because these industries that I'm railing against, I'm open to criticism, but if you're going to defend tax dodging, foreign fossil fuel stealing corporations, then you're on your own there. And of course, these industries have astroturfing propaganda arms that try and shift the online conversation. So I kind of want to be open to feedback, but it gets hard because it's so flooded with angry bots. And so part of me just goes, it's just a bunch of bots online.
I know you get asked about this all the time in terms of new media versus traditional media, and you're probably sick of like answering those questions. But I am interested to know, like, do you think that people are going to continue to see political commentary discussion from creators like yourself seek that out as opposed to getting it from traditional media sources? Like, how do you think that's going to play out in the years ahead?
Yeah, I think it's going to diversify, and I think both are going to continue. I just think traditional media has been so slow, and still to this very day, so slow to learn the lessons that I'm teaching them every single day. They can pick up some wannabe YouTuber on YouTube and say, hey, come help make content with us, because it's just me doing this. And if studios have so much money, they can do exactly what I'm doing. I think I offer a level of authenticity and a level of honesty that I think we're looking for in our traditional media. And there's good journalism happening, but then it gets overshadowed by the absolute trash that the corporate media will put forward when they're running a news piece that's an advertorial, but masquerading as a news, and we just kind of lose faith in it. And so I think corporate media just needs to pivot quick. And I think they will. I think they'll be around for a while, and I think both will exist, but they're just going to have increased competition from a more diverse set of online creators who can pick up a phone and also do some analysis themselves.
Do you feel pressure to keep this up? Like, is there ever days that you wake up and you're like, actually, I'm over this, and I'd like to just go back to my normal job and give all this up?
Well, listen, teaching as a normal job is a pretty hard bloody slog, so it's going to take a few years for me to want to willingly return to there, as fun as teaching some kinds can be, but it's pretty hard. I do feel the pressure to keep doing this for the long haul because I want to see big systemic change. Like when the government wakes up and stops pocketing cash and serving fossil fuel banks, big corporate monopolies, I'll happily retire. And I think that's why I'm trying to make it fun. I'm trying to make politics engaging for people and have a good time. Like, politics doesn't have to be depressing, even though a lot of the time when we're not seeing the change that has to happen, it is depressing. So I do feel that pressure, and I think some days it weighs on me, but I think I'm just too wired to wanting to help push for a solution that I'll just, you know, go for a surf and go for a ride and then come back to it, take a day or so off, and then just get back into the grind of consuming the world's problems and trying to communicate simple solutions to them.
You're definitely in it for now, and there's a lot of people who are chasing you and relying on you for a lot of information. Look, Conrad Benjamin, Punters Politics, appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, good chat with Conrad. Always nice to have him on and get his perspective. And I know so many of you rely on him for information, for analysis. He's obviously got his own podcast, social media channels that maybe you follow already. If you don't follow, you can go check him out. That is all for now. I'll catch you next time.